Rishus the Rabbeim, Shlita. Rishus HaRabbanim. Rishus all the Chaverim. I want to thank Rav Baruch for the opportunity to moderate this session right now. I'm very humbled to be here right now, and I just assume it's a kiyum of Maschilim Min Atzad. Today's dinner and all the events are Le'ilei Nishmas, Rav Sheftel Neuberger, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rav Sheftel Meir, Ben Rav Naftali Halevi, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and Bez Hashem, all the Hisayrus and all the Chizik should in fact be an Aliyah for his Neshama. But the theme of this dinner has been coming home. And there's two different ways to come home to your childhood home. Sometimes you go back to a house that you grew up in, but no one lives there any longer. If that's what you're going back to, it's just a tourist attraction. Just last week, I was in Baltimore for a family simcha, and I brought my kids to 3300 Clark's Lane to take a picture in front of the apartment building. It was fun. It was exciting. But that was it. But when you go home, and you spend time with your parents, and you spend time with your siblings, then it's a meaningful and it's an impactful experience. And that, in fact, is what we're experiencing right now, having all our chaverim and sitting here with our rebbeim. Very recently, in Shul, I ran into Rav Yaakov Berkowitz and his son, the son and grandson of Rebbe Shlita, and I said to the Einikel, "I'm your uncle." And he looked at me very puzzled, but obviously Rav Yaakov understood, and he said, "V'shinanta levanecha elu atalmidim. I may be the biological son, but he is the Ruchniyistika son, and in fact, he counts as being your uncle." And when people reminisce and look back to their childhood home, it's very common when they think about the positive experiences, they think about Shabbos Kodesh, they think about Leil Shabbos. And that's what we're trying to reinvent right now. The Rosh Shiva Shlita of Aaron Feldman, very often in his Shmuzim, would mention that the Zohar says that Shifra and Puah are a mashal for Talmidei Chachamim. Because Talmidei Chachamim, of course, they teach Torah, but they also nurture and they encourage and they clean us. And that's very often what happened on Leil Shabbos, when we had an opportunity to spend time in our Rebbeim's homes, to learn from them, Shimush Talmidei Chachamim, and Be'ez Hashem, we should have Siyata Dishmaya to be able to feel a little bit of Me'ein, what we used to have when we were back in Yeshiva. So we prepared several shaylas to ask to the Rebbeim. These are not shaylas in current events, but rather shaylas about the Yeshiva, about the Rebbeim, and hopefully you'll be able to learn and gain from the experience. The first shaila we're going to ask, and I actually want to make one point of clarification. It'll be very confusing if I refer to Rebbe, Rebbe, and Rebbe. It won't be very clear what I'm trying to accomplish. So for the sake of clarity, I'm going to refer to Rebbe Berkowitz Shlita as Rebbe. I spent 6 years in the Shir Baruch Hashem, and to Rav Shragi as Rav Shragi, and Rav Friend as Rav Friend. And I think it'll be more clear as I try to refer the questions to the different Rebbeim. So the first shaila is going to be for Rav Shragi. As a son of Rav Naftali Neuberger, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and a nephew of Rav Ruderman Zatzal, can you please let us into the world of the founding of the yeshiva, the goals that they had, and some of the struggles and triumphs along the way?
The founding of the yeshiva took place long before I was born. The founder of the yeshiva was the Rosh Yeshiva David Yisrael Yitzchak Livracha, and my father came 5 years later as a Talmud and remained a Talmud his whole life and bought into Rosh Yeshiva Yitzchak Livracha's vision of the yeshiva being a place to nurture the greatness of each person. I want to tell you a short antidote that reflects the Rosh Yeshiva's godless of how he understood an individual. When my father first came, he saw that he was very bright. He even told me at one time, until he got to know him better, he saw he was so good at understanding Bachur, maybe he should become Mashgiach. And then he realized that my father's breitkeit, that was not for him. And it was a tkufa, I don't know exactly why, but when my father, as a Bachur, slept in the Rosh Yeshiva's house. And the Rosh Yeshiva told me once that my father used to come, he was a German boy, that was learning English and also wanted to know a lot about America. And he came after night Seder at night with a stack of newspapers and went up to his room. And the Roshiva said that sometimes when he was learning late, he could hear my father up, still turning the newspapers. And this shows the chinuch he got from the altar in Slabodka. He told me, really, a bacher at that age should be going to sleep so he could learn. But he didn't shter him from reading the newspapers because he understood that that's what this bacher needed. An insight into the greatness of the Roshiva's understanding of each bacher's kaiches, which later led to a mutually beneficial relationship as my father remaining a Talmud, but also helping the Roshiva so that Roshiva could take care of the ruchnis of the yeshiva. As a chizik to anyone who's involved in Hachzakas Torah, I just want to share with you a small thing which is, in my mind, big. I remember in 1971, when we moved out here, my father was already working for the yeshiva for 30 years, known to be very successful. And that Simchas Torah, the entire time during Hakafas, Roshiva, my father, were out on a walk because my father was overwhelmed with the achrayas of keeping, paying, making the payments for the buildings, and his blood pressure was suffering, and Roshiva was being mechazik him that we're going to do it in Mirtz Hashem. So people think that just because he was so capable, it was with great Mesiris Nefesh that they built the yeshiva. And Roshiva once said at one of my aunt at the Rebbetzin's birthday party that people used to joke. He never liked to take credit for himself. He used to joke. He said, I was able to have a yeshiva because I had a capable Rebbetzin and a capable brother-in-law. He said that to be mechazik everyone. And my father admired him greatly and understood his vision of continuing Slabodka and believing in each person's kaiches. And I remember many times my father would have to run. There was a store, Mr. Blank, that would clear out his cash registers to make sure the Rabbeim got paid on time. Many, many years of great difficulty that today, where I think in the Olam HaTorah, there is Baruch Hashem much more Hatzlochad. There was so few from people that supported the yeshiva and the amount of Mesiris Nefesh that they put in to build this Maisid is the peiros of that Mesiris Nefesh of going through great difficulties. When I was growing up in the late 1950s, my father couldn't make a living on what he made from the yeshiva, and my mother had to teach Talmud Torah, and they took me to an aunt's house near the Talmud Torah so they wouldn't have to pay for babysitting. That was 20-some years into working for the yeshiva. That's the Mesiris Nefesh that the yeshiva and my father had, and we see the parents today, and everyone can be mishtatef, and helping that is helping in the hemshech of what they saw to be so important as a unique and special machim Torah that was machshev each and every yochid for who they were.
Thank you. The next question is going to be for Rebbe and Rebbe Friend, and we'll address it in that order. Although Rav Neuberger grew up on Yeshiva Lane, we all know that Rebbe grew up in San Francisco and Rebbe Friend in Seattle, which means that the path that the Rebbeim are on now was not a given when they grew up. Would it be possible for us to hear who and or what were the pivotal influences in each of the Rebbeim becoming who they are today?
Certainly had no hasagas of what Rabbanim Rashi Yeshiva were. There were Rabbanim where I grew up. I knew that I wanted to learn a yeshiva, but certainly the hasagas of what Torah was is something that I absorbed when I got here. When I think back in terms of inspiration. It was not something that was from, I can't say it wasn't from Shmuzen, but just seeing people of such stature and also hearing from them a very strong belief that American Bachrim could become Talmidei Chachamim was tremendously inspiring. Lamaisa, there were very starke Bachrim, and starke Bachrim became Talmidei Chachamim, so that it helped to have inspiring Chaverim. But the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Ruderman, and the Rosh Yeshiva, the Ramim, the Yeshiva, just Poshet being exposed to such hasagas and learning, to me, was a tremendous inspiration. I don't know if I was thinking in terms of career and profession. My parents had another plan for me. but certainly the inspiration was profound.
How did Rebbe come to Baltimore in the first place?
I don't know who gets the credit, the entire credit of Kowalski, who used to collect for the yeshiva, was a regular in San Francisco. My father used to try to help him at night to drive him around. So he was a known commodity. So they knew about the yeshiva, and there were those before me who came from San Francisco to learn here. There were two Langer brothers. Naftali is here to represent. And there was Shmaya Turner. There were others that learned here, but I think, I'm assuming that they were aware of Ner Yisrael because of Rabbi Kowalski. I think that's how they knew about it.
I'm suspect whether I should say this in the beginning or in the end, but we just have to give credit to Rav Baruch for pulling this off. I mean, if there ever was a roll of the dice, this was it. It's January 9th. The weather forecast is very iffy. To have it intense. I remember taking a walk with Baruch in the summer, and he said his vision is that guys want to come back to the Beis Midrash. They don't want to go to an antiseptic, sterile hotel. They'd rather see their old dorm and all the accumulated schmutz over the last. And you know, you're coming over here, you're seeing a Shulchan Aruch Lefanecha, the tents. You can't imagine what an undertaking that is. You can't imagine what an expense that is. And Baruch with his staff, which he has assembled, have pulled it off. And I mean, this is really, it's an incredible feat. And Rabbi Neuberger, Zichron Levracha, and Rav Sheftel, Zichron Levracha, have left the yeshiva in very, very capable hands. So the answer to this question is a very simple question, very simple for me to answer. It is one person. His name is Rabbi Chaim Tzvi Hollander Zichron Levracha. I went to the Seattle Hebrew Day School, in which the policy was they do not teach Torah Shabbat Peh in the day school. Now, that was a policy. Now, that's because the principal at that time, it was a community school. He wanted to cater to all sorts of people, and they should teach Talmud in a day school. You know, we had Chumash, we had Nach, we had Ivrit, we had Historia, but not Teresh Baal Peh. I mean, the variety, the spectrum of people that went to that school, there was a kid that would occasionally would bring a ham sandwich for lunch. Ham sandwich. It wasn't glut. So whether he's right or wrong, that's not for me to judge. It is for me to judge, but I'm not going to share with you. and so he hired a Rebbe, tells her, a younger man, who was inspired to go into chinuch by Rav Elie Meir Bloch Zatzal. And I had him in the fifth grade. And there was an afternoon yeshiva, which was sponsored by the shul, called Yeshiva Sabenu Chaim Meiser. And that is where I learned Gemara. But he was a charismatic figure. An incredible figure. And I remember this. I was in the sixth grade. He was shown the exit from the school because he was too popular and he was making too many waves, which is the lot of people who are in chinuch many times. And he had to leave. And I remember in a summer afternoon, he took me up on a Shabbos afternoon, took me up to one of his kids' rooms, and he says, "You got to go away to yeshiva." And that's why I'm here. If it would have been for my parents, Zichron Livracha, I would have gone to James A. Garfield High School and Yeshiva University. And the rest would not be history. But I came here. Why did I pick here? Because my mother, Allah Shalom, went the December before I came, and she went to check out yeshivas, and she went to one yeshiva that remained nameless, and she was very unimpressed with the guy who showed her around. And then she came over here, and my mother, even though she wasn't born in Germany, but she was a Yaki by nature, and there was certain Rabbi Neuberger took her around, mamish, place by place. You know, here's where we eat, this is that. She was blown away by Rabbi Neuberger. And that's why I'm here. End of story.
If I can ask Rabbi and every friend, using the famous Maisa of the Netziv, what are the shoes that Baruch Hashem we were never zeichet to have? We don't have to answer. Every friend?
Too many choices.
I wanted to become a Supreme Court justice. And the country is worse off for it.
Very good. Okay, the next question is for Rebbe. Rebbe Berkowitz Lita. By now, Rebbe has had thousands of Talmidim. He has seen many succeed, others not, and everything in between. Avodas Hashem is constantly strichem chizik. What is the pattern that Rebbe has seen for those that have succeeded as staying b'nei Torah far after leaving yeshiva?
I don't think that there's a pattern. There are those who one will predict when they're in yeshiva that they'll be successful when they leave yeshiva. And there are many, many surprises in both directions. What I do recognize is that I think many bachrim in yeshiva absorb, develop. You don't always see everything that they're absorbing when they're in yeshiva. There are many surprises. I feel that those who are successful when they leave, I do feel that many of them can trace their success back to what they got in yeshiva. Sometimes in yeshiva it was more nicker and boilet because they were outstanding and they were driven and motivated. But I think many of them, perhaps in yeshiva, didn't reach that level of being outstanding. Sometimes it could be they weren't as outstanding, and sometimes they weren't as motivated. But I feel many who really become successful in either in learning or askonis, as balabatim, as malamdim, as rabbanim, talmid chachamim, I think a lot of them can trace back their motivation and their both geshmak in learning, but really their chashivas for Torah and chashivas for Klal Yisrael to yeshiva. So a pattern I don't see, but I do feel that you cannot underestimate what a person absorbs in yeshiva, there, you know, I'm not a betting man, so I can't tell you who's going to be matzliach, but it's not always the ones that are the most quote-unquote talented, but I think it's the ones who are sincere and motivated are the ones who are matzliach.
If I could ask a follow-up question, I think it's safe to assume that most of those who have attended today are doing well, have stayed B'nai Torah. This is being recorded right now and being broadcast around the world. And is there a message the Rebbe could share for those who are finding themselves struggling at this point?
I think anybody who's alive is struggling. And if he doesn't realize he's struggling, he's really in trouble. Life is full of challenges and struggles. I think that people grow from struggles. I think the Rabbanu Shlomo gives people the strength to deal with struggles and challenges. I do feel, just as an Eitz HaTeiva, that when a person feels connected to Rebbeim, to Chaverim, it gives the person the strength to be able to deal with struggles and challenges. Sometimes directly from being Messiahites, getting Hadracha, but I think very often just feeling part of something, feeling that one has good chaverim and he has rebeim, I think it's something that gives the person the sense of the strength that he can deal with the challenges of life.
Yeah.
Next question. It's for Rabbi Fran Shlita. One of the themes that is often repeated about Neir Yisrael Talmidim is that they feel a sense of achrayus towards the klal. I don't remember ever hearing a drush about this topic, but I do see many Klei Kodesh and Balei Batim that are alumni of yeshiva that are involved in klal work. Can Rebbe please share where this came from and how has it spread so widely amongst alumni of the yeshiva?
You know, the Gemara uses an expression of margala bapume, of a certain amira, a certain tana, margala bapume. I do not think that Rabbi Neuberger, Zichrono Livracha, was capable of giving a drasha or a speech without mentioning the word achrayus. And if you told him, you can't say the word achrayus, he wouldn't be able to give the speech. That was Margal of Apume. I once said the same thing about Rebellious Svei, Zichrono Livracha. If he was told you can't give a speech without saying the word Mesoira, he wouldn't be able to give a speech. That was his raison d'etre. And that was Rabbi Neuberger's raison d'etre. So I don't know what you mean when you say you didn't hear a drush about it. But every time he spoke, achrayus, achrayus, achrayus for the tzibur, for the klal. And Rav Weinberg's Zichrono Livracha, he couldn't give a speech without saying the word klal Yisrael. And the achrayus, the klal Yisrael. What you have to do for klal Yisrael, you have to worry about klal Yisrael. So, you know, as they always say, the gresta chinuch is tzitan alein. You know, you want to be mechanech somebody, you do it yourself. That's what your kids see. Both Rav Weinberg and Rabbi Neuberger, Zichrono Livracha, they lived this, they breathed this, this was their mahus, and by osmosis, you picked this up, unless you were deaf and dumb. But you have to pick this up. And I think that is filtered down. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. As you say, there are so many Neir Yisrael guys that may, even if they're not in chinuch per se, but they're the balabatim that run, you know, that run the shul, that run the school, that run the whatever it may be, because they picked that up over here. Medavton for the tzibur, medavton for the klal, seda an achrayus, and that's where I think they got it from.
As a follow-up question, I've personally lived in smaller cities like Cincinnati and larger cities now in Chicago, and I found in the smaller cities it was easier for people to have an expression of this cheshek, to be involved in klal work, but in bigger cities they feel very lost. Does Rebbe have any etzer hadracha for those who are living in places like Baltimore, New York, etc., to get involved in klal?
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is your point is well taken, and when you're in a small city, you know, it's Eine Kol Yisrael Olecha, and you just cannot coast, and you just cannot sit in your Dalet Amis. That's true. But even in a city like Baltimore, here of Ein Bi Yisrael, you can go to any mice and say, what can I do? And trust me, they will have what for you to do. You know, you just have to, you know, maybe you're not like the Omer HaTovech in a place like Cincinnati or Columbus or places like that, but there's plenty to do even in a town like Baltimore. Maybe harder in New York or in Lakewood, but certainly in a you know, a normal, even in a feine Stadt, there's always what to do.
The next question is for Rabbi Neuberger. Amongst many areas of Chizuk and Hadracha, Rabbi deals extensively with Inyanei Shalom Bayis. What is the number one main insight on Shalom Bayis that Rebbe can share to help each of us improve and stay on an even better path towards greater Shalom Bayis?
When the Rosh Yeshivat Bracha, Rabbi Yislevi, went to make Nesia Gedayla, a group of wives of Talmidim asked to have a small group of wives, Tamidim, asked if they could meet with Rosh Yeshiva, and they collectively told Rosh Yeshiva that each and every one of their husbands was outstanding in their covet to their wives, and the husbands and the wives attributed it to the way that they saw the Rosh Yeshiva's Harvacha treat the Rebbetzin Allah Shalom, and that was a model to them. And that was a big hanhaga that the Rosh Yeshiva had. Anytime we, even as nephews, would go over to the Rosh Yeshiva's house to talk to him, he would say, Gefer bring abyssal mit tanta frier. He was always sensitive and inspired Talmidim, that was a key. All of us being veteran married people and, you know, we're all at different ages fairly set in our ways. The hanhoge of Shalom Bayis, most people mistakenly think is fixed and that nothing can get better. If a person believes in Odom Nifl Kvi Puloysev, if a person believes in that the tachlis of every person is, as the Gaon writes, is to work on some mida that you haven't worked on before, there's no question that in every person's home there is the place where there will be something to work on to make the person for a more Muslim to commence. And Achrayis, as it was mentioned, which is important, starts in the bias. Achrayis starts with our paying attention to our spouses and to our children. And the more we do that with the busy life that we have, that we can very oftentimes, myself certainly included, be busy not focusing on the main thing, which is our own mishpachas. The Maral's brother writes in the Sefer HaChaim that the Iker Hachnas Azarachim is with mishpacha. Iker, there's much chesed a person can do in his own mishpacha, in his own family, and to realize that goal, besides the wanting to do for the klal, but we have to live a life which is balanced, and balance always means to keep focus on what's important. And balance also means that we don't have just, it's not just one, you have to keep on looking at the situation and saying, what could I still do better? What can I do better? I remember once when the Rosh Yeshiva Shmavacha used to, on Erev Pesach, the Rebbetzin was the oldest daughter, and Rosh Yeshiva used to have them bring from the Siyam a mezainis or something to the Rebbetzin, since she was a Bukhaira. I don't think he was machmir on that shita that she couldn't eat without partaking in the Siyam, but it was an oifen of him being mash of her for being the oldest in her family. Any things like that, that if a person has the rutzen to do it, then we can do it and we can improve on that. And the bigger schus a person has to do for his own mishpacha will be for sure a schus to do for the rest of the klal.
This afternoon's final question for all three of the Rabbeim. We'll start with Rebbe and move this way back towards Rebbe Frant. Very open-ended question. This is probably the largest informal setting that the Rabbeim have had with Talmidim of Yeshiva in many years. Is there a final message that the Rabbeim would like to share with us?
Such an open-ended question gets 30 seconds. Okay. My hergish is one which I think many here share, that as much as people are located in different locations and people are very busy with the Tirdus HaChayim and busy with mitzvahs, Limud HaTorah, Habotzus HaTorah, but there's a component, there's an aspect that a person develops when he's in his years in yeshiva, which are his formative years. The Vishinantim Levanecha makes all the banim into achim. So there's a chibur that's connected, that connects people who spend time in yeshiva together, a chibur between them and the yeshiva, the rebbeim, and their chaverim. I think the hergish, as much as it's hard to be able to actually put into lemaisa, because of all that has to be sorted out, but I think that hergish is an important hergish for a person to value. I think seek out the opportunity that as tired as we are, the appreciation of what it means, our chaverim, the people we developed lifelong relationships with in our years in yeshiva, they're precious, we have to value them, and find ways to be mechazik that kesher.
I don't know if there was a exact kavana of why they put my seat over here, probably because Rabbi Friend is to my left and Rabbi Berkowitz is to my right in our thinking sometimes, but
all the time
I'm far left.
But I think that there's an important message of that, as Rafi said, wherever you are, be mechaber to Talmidei Chachamim, the places you are, because having connections to Talmidei Chachamim, even if they have a different hashkafa, it's Torah, it's Yiddishkeit, and Talmidei Chachamim, to be mechaber Talmidei Chachamim is important, to keep up with Rabbeim is important, and it's also important for Talmidim of our yeshiva to remember that if we are what some people would call kanoim for the middle, and that's perhaps not everyone would agree with that as well, but if everyone likes to think they're in the middle, but the chinuch that we got and the balance that we got, being teredik and understanding of a velt, is something that everyone that comes here should feel proud of, to be part of, and to spread that each person with feed the mekaymis there in a shalom dekaifin, and to realize that there's a beauty in Klal Yisrael and there's diversity in Klal Yisrael, and to feel a deep sense of pride for the gevaldik hashkafa and chashivas of Torah, achrayas, chesed, and balance that people received from our rabbeim.
So, I have two thoughts that seemingly are contradictory. Number one is everything in the world has changed from 10 years ago, certainly, from 40 years ago, 50 years ago, etc. One of the things that has profoundly changed is how maestas go about fundraising, especially yeshivas. You know, as Reb Tzvi mentioned, Rabbi Kowalski, Zichron Elvracha, used to go to San Francisco. He went to Seattle also. He went all over the world. There ain't no more Rabbi Kowalskis around. It's a dying breed because nobody wants to spend his time on the road. And, you know, the yeshiva has had a very a pantheon of great collectors, Rabbi Kowalski, Rabbi Pilberg. The list goes on. It's not around anymore. It's not around. And also, as everybody knows, there is not much non-frum money around anymore. You know, these contributions that they used to get from people like, you know, in Staunton, Virginia, and, you know, Pocatello, Idaho, which is all these places, ain't happening anymore. There's no more Jews like that. So how do maestas survive? So they survive on their alumni. They survive on you. And therefore, you know, yeshivas are like lives, like they're people. I'm getting older. Somebody told me, you haven't changed a day. They were 30 years ago. He needs new glasses. But as I get older, I have to rely more on my children. You know, thank God, Baruch Hashem, I have at least one child in Baltimore who I rely on heavily. Because, you know, you need help. And Baruch Hashem, and Hara, I'm still healthy, still active. I still can still go shopping, you know, but midafon coming to the kinder. Emir Hashem, you should be zeicher to that. You get old enough that you can't do it yourself, you have to come on to your children. The yeshiva has to come on to its children. You know, talking about hatamidim emarahim abanim. We have to rely on you. You have to step up to the plate because the old ways of fundraising, it's the way of the dinosaur. It just doesn't happen anymore. That said, you have to be careful, I think, about something that is a very current problem in the Haredi frum community, and that is the dogesh of making a lot of money. Not just making a living, but making a lot of money. And there's an avira in the major from shtetlach, not shtetlach, cities, metropoli. Make money, a lot of money. Got a lot of money. You need a lot of money. Don't get caught in that trap because it's an unending trap. So on one hand, I'm asking you, Stell to the guilt. On the other hand, I'm saying, guilt and garnished. But as Rav Shraga, I think, said, balance. Balance. Yes, you should have parnasa, you should make parnasa, you should be able to to support your family. It's part of the chiyuv of the ksuba. You should be able to send your kids to good schools. You should be able to shtitzais edims, etc., etc. And the list goes on. Aber don't get farchat. That's it's an unending spiral which you don't want to go down. Zehu.
Thank you, Rabbi Baruch and Askani, for making this happen. Thank you to the Rabban for participating, and thank you, everyone, for joining. You can make your way to the dining room for the reception.